more months that we are while we are here in Cambodia, in America. Please help us to pray, and we already raised this money for $15,000, and we're still looking $45,000, and we really need prayers for this land. Yes, sir. This is only first for the land, because there's one church that they promised to us, if we have the land, they will help us to build the main church first. Because we cannot build, you know, the problem here is the fund. If you will build the main church, you should have another fund for the children's home, and then another fund for the... So one by one, what we are doing, we are trying to raise the property, and then there's a one church that they promised to us that they will help us to build the church building. Not really in the building, but the one that's expensive is the property, especially in my place because it's city. They build already the airports. Buildings are building up. In 10 years, I saw it when I was there. There's no much building that time, but the city grown up, and that's why they grabbed the opportunity where they can sell their property higher. In the city, we cannot buy a property around $60,000. That's why we came out a little bit farther in the city where we can build the main church. And it is the good thing of this property, it's near to every village work. And that's why we grabbed this opportunity where we can come back here and raise this fund for the property. Yes, Pastor. When we came there, this Cambodian, they are very receptive in the Word of God. The problem is they are not easily to give up their belief. So you need to put patience to teach the Word of God to them. Like, for example, if I teach salvation to them in one village, I need to teach for 3 months about only for salvation. We will go and over, and the government give us conflict here when they found out that our many churches are building up and starting. What they did is, before we are paying our visa to stay in Cambodia, only $25 in 2011. After 2011, year passed by, it's coming up, and now we are paying each of us $300 for 1 year. And they are seeing this government, that this foreigner, they can get money from us. That's why that's one of the conflict that we are struggle that we experience in Cambodia, especially when I registered the church. I paid $2,000 when I registered the ministry that time. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
My question is, in Romans chapter 1, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And would you be able to tell us, what's the gospel? Why do we and they need it? And then what's salvation? What are they being saved from?
What? Can you repeat the question? What?
What's the gospel? Why do we and they need it? And then what's salvation? What will they be saved from?
I cannot get it, sir. What salvation?
Yeah, here, I'll say it this way. What's the gospel?
The gospel is the death and burial of resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we explain to them very carefully, because some of their belief, only Buddha is their God. And that's why we try to explain to them very carefully. It will took for 3 months for me in my ministry, because I observe in my ministry for almost 12 years now that these Cambodian nationals, they will just come and go to the church, but they don't understand about salvation. If you will share the salvation to them, they will raise their hands and they will accept Christ. Then the next Sunday, you will share the salvation to them, they will raise their hands, they will accept Christ again. That's why we very carefully teaching to them step by step in basic how they will understand fully the simple plan of salvation. Yes, sir. I have an interpreter right now. I cannot speak fluently yet. I'm still studying on it, because if you will speak in their language and if you are fluent, your tongue is twisted already. But I'm on in that way that while I'm starting this church, while I'm having this ministry, I'm also studying little by little, because it's very hard for me. But I have an interpreter who could help us, those Cambodian nationals who got saved in our ministry and they became workers in the church and they stayed with us and they learned how to speak English, and then they are the one who's helping me to interpret if I'm teaching the Word of God to them. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have missionaries also in different provinces. Like in our mission board, we have around 6 missionaries there, but they are far from me. I am near in the capital city. They called Phnom Penh City, but some of my fellow missionaries, they are far from me, 6 hours, 5 hours, 4 hours, but I am in the capital city in Phnom Penh City. I'm near on that. It's only 30 minutes away in the capital city of Phnom Penh. Yes, sir.
Is there a Bible in the Khmer language?
They have, but we need to be careful. They have 2 translations right now, but the other one is not good translation. So what I am doing, I am very careful to them. I'm using King James, and they will translate in their language. But before they will translate it, I need to know what they are translating, because sometimes if you are not aware to your translator, he will say something that you are not saying on it. So especially in the Word of God, so we use the nearest translator, the translation that we had in Cambodia. Yes, Pastor.
When I think of Cambodia, I think of the killing fields.
Yes. Yes, Pastor. Still, actually, Pastor, they preserve the place, those school where they torture all the 2 million people. There's a place there, one place that where they dig 6 feet under the ground and where they throw all the people. They preserve that place. So every time they will pass by there, they are keeping telling to me, Pastor, that's the place that we will never forget, where our grandma, grandpa died there. So they are very thankful when they got saved in our ministry, because they found the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. That's why when they will think of it, that cruel thing that happened to their families, some of them, they are crying, some of them, they don't want to think of it anymore, because they don't want to experience again. But they told me, that this country is still communist, Pastor. You need to be ready and you need to be careful, because someday they can, the history can be repeat again.
So what's your background? You're from the Philippines. Did you grow up in a church?
I grew up in a Christian family. My father and my mother, they are Christian. They grew up in a Baptist church. And then I got saved. I was second year high school that time. And I don't have a desire to be a pastor that time. But the Lord changed everything when I finished my high school. And then I went to my uncle's church because most of my relatives, they are pastors and missionary. So when one time I went to the family camp where my uncle is preaching, and I heard that message where I know the Lord is calling me in the ministry, and I just follow what He wants me to do. After that, I went to the Bible college in the Philippines, and then that college gave me opportunity to further my study here in the United States. And then that time, I'm praying already Philippines and Cambodia, because that I found Cambodia. I have relatives before there. He's a missionary, but now he's no longer a missionary there. So when I found when I heard about Cambodia, I've been praying Philippines and Cambodia that time. And that's how I end up in Cambodia, where I follow the calling of God in this country. Anyone? I'm scared when you are all quiet. When we came there for our first and second year pastor, we're a little bit scared because of the history. But when I already familiarized the people, the culture, and they are very kind, and you know, so we doesn't have a reason to be scared in that place. That's why even it's not allowed sometimes to knock on doors giving gospel tracts. We do it because we have permit. So they cannot, if you don't have a permit there, the police will keep coming in your church or in your place, and they will ask money. They will not put you in jail. They will ask money. Yes, sir. They don't, I will share one of the experience of my workers. When he got saved, first their family got mad. And they want him to, you know, out of their family. But when he stood for his faith, they see the changes of his life, the changes of, and until they will accept him, what's going on about Christianity. Until some of their family, one of my workers, what he did when they are trying to persecute him, he did not stop sharing to them what he believed about the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible. So he started to reach some of his parents. So, but when the first few months, when they found out that he is a Christian already, that he accepted the Lord and he got baptized, they are mad at them. They are trying to be out of their family, like cast out of their family. But, you know, if you will stood in the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ is always with you. Yes, sir.
You mentioned that sometimes people say that they're accepting Christ, and then next week they come back and they
This is one of the problem in Cambodia. That's why I call this ministry a long-term ministry. Because these people, they are keep raising their hands and they want to get saved, right? So these people, I don't know if they don't understand what I am teaching or what, but I believe with all my heart, I am teaching basic to them. I mean, very clear. What is salvation? So what I observe to them is some of them, they cannot throw their belief about Buddha. That's why it's hard to win these adults. That's why we are more focusing in the children. Because these children, while they are young, while their mind is fresh, and you are putting the Word of God in their mind, and you are trying to plant a seed in their heart, and when they grow, and they understand what you are teaching day by day, that you are visiting them, teaching them, encouraging them, and when they accept Christ, they will grow in their faith. It's easy for them that they will accept what we are teaching. But these adults, for me, they are hard to understand it.
So is it kind of like an evolutionary works theology that they have, where Buddha is kind of like growing into godliness or something?
Yes, sir. Because one thing that they put in their mind, you know, they are not all intellectual people because of the history. What Pol Pot put in their mind is Buddha is the only God and can help them. That's why these people that grew up in that time of Pol Pot or the killing fields, the only thing that they know is Buddha is the God, not Jesus Christ. So when you are putting or teaching about Jesus Christ, you need to be careful and you need to be patient to them, because sometimes they will ask you some question that, you know, you will not understand them sometimes. Yes, ma'am.
What did they do with Mary then? Do they worship Mary then?
Do they worship
Mary, Jesus' mother?
No, ma'am. Only Buddha. There is a monk. If you saw those monks that they line up every day, they will visit every day in your house. They will knock and they have something like a bag for offering to them. And when you offer to them, they will pray for them. That's how they will worship Buddha. And but in Mary, they don't believe on Mary. They don't know Mary. Yes, sir. You should be continue teaching to them until they will understand and they will accept the Word of God. You will see it to them, because there's a fruit in if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ from the bottom of their heart. You will see the fruit to them every Sunday that they are coming, and every time that you are visiting them, you will see the changes in their life. And they are the one will ask, Pastor, how will I do this? How will I pray? What happened if I pray to the Lord, to Jesus Christ? Pastor, how will I read this Bible? Can you help us? How will I understand this, like this, like this? So they have many questions. If they already, if you will know that they already understand what you are teaching to them. Okay, Pastor. If you have a Bible, open your Bible in the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30. Don't worry, I won't keep you long. My English is only for 15 minutes when I preach. And there's an old joke that I learned from my preacher in Ohio. Every time he preached, I heard this, and I keep asking when I heard this, and he said, there is an old joke that Elizabeth Taylor said to her seventh husband, I won't keep you long. So I asked my preacher in Ohio, I said, who's Elizabeth Taylor? He said, don't ask him anymore. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, please stand as we give respect to the Word of God. Before we read the Word of God and our text, I want to introduce my wife. I forgot, and I hope she will not get mad at me. My wife is with me. That's Noemi. And then my youngest daughter, Pauline. My third child, Poliana, and then the next one is Paula, is my eldest, and my only son is Paulo. If you notice, they are all P, so I named them all first name of Paul, Apostle Paul. They are all Paul, Pauline, Poliana, Paulo, and Paula. And thank you for letting us to come in your church and be a blessing in your church. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it's only one verse that I'm going to share this afternoon. The Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Shall we pray, our gracious God and Heavenly Father? Lord, we thank Thee, Thou art sovereign and powerful God. We are praising Thee, Lord, that You're so good in our life. Lord, we thank Thee, O God, that You brought us here in the church where we can gather together to praise You and worship You in Your name. We pray, O Lord, that You help us to understand Your word, especially, O Lord, in our midst, that You speak to every man's heart in this midst, O God. Help me to preach Your word, O God, where I can be a blessing to them. Give me strength, give me knowledge. Lord, I am not good in this speaking their language, but help me, O God. I pray, dear Lord, that you bless this ministry, this church, O Lord, especially to pastor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may all be seated. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." I want to preach to you this afternoon, and I entitled this message, "The Heart." The heart. The word heart means it's the pump station of the body, and it is responsible of circulating blood throughout the body. And that's why they in Greek word they came out. In Greek word, they got this word cardia, cardiovascular. That's why they got the word cardiovascular. You know, we Filipino, we love reading some books in National Geographic. When I was a young boy, every time I go to the school, and we will have a break, I will go to the library and I will look around these books and I will choose the books where I can find and read about those animals, their life, how they live, how they survive, and especially I'm excited to learn their defense mechanism to their enemy. So one time while I'm reading, it caught up to my attention this cheetah. This cheetah is one of the fastest running animal in the earth. And this cheetah, if he ran the amount of speed of 60 to 70 miles per hour, after this cheetah, he ran off that amount of speed, he will faint. And I found out this cheetah has a small heart. You know, folks, in our text, it's very pure and clear what the Bible says. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all our heart." With all our heart. The Bible did not say, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with a little heart." The Bible did not say, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with a half-hearted heart." The Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all our heart." With all our heart. This afternoon, I want to share three things. And I want to ask a question, what kind of heart do we need in order of us to be a blessing and successful in serving the Lord? First, we need to have a prayerful heart. In James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man is what? Availeth much. Friends, we need to pray. Prayer is one of the key and tool, an important tool in serving the Lord. God cannot use a man or woman who doesn't know how to pray. Prayer can change things. Prayer is one of the key and tool to talk to God. Prayer is the only way to communicate to God. We need to pray. Church, we need to pray. We need to pray for our pastor. We need to pray for his family. We need to pray for our Sunday school teachers. We need to pray for those who are teaching the children, because those children that we teach, they are precious in the sight of God. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our church members. We need to pray for our family, especially our loved ones, and also our unsaved loved ones, so that they will get saved. Prayer is very important to us. You know, sometimes problems, trials, persecution, financial difficulties comes in our life, and then sometimes we go to our friends and we don't realize that God is just only a prayer away. You know, there's a man named John Knox, if you know him. John Knox is one of the great reformer. He has a prayer to the Lord, and his prayer is like this. The first day he prayed to the Lord, he said, "Lord, give me Scotland, or else I die." Then the second day that he prayed to God, "Lord, give me Scotland, or else I die." The third day that he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, give me Scotland, or else I die." And you know what? God answered the prayer of this man named John Knox. You know why? Because there is a man who knows how to pray. And there is a great revival in Scotland because of this man's prayer. We need to pray. Prayer can draw us closer and closer and closer to the Lord. We need to have a prayerful heart. You know, I remember 2021 is in the middle of pandemic. January 15, 2021, the day of my birthday, 6 a.m. the morning, I experienced a massive heart attack. My wife brought me in the ER. To make the story short, I end up in the city, in the capital city in the Philippines where they called Manila. They brought me there because they cannot help me in the province. And the good thing is, we went home in the Philippines that time just to have a checkups, our health. And then after that, we're headed going back to Cambodia. But before we headed back to Cambodia, I experienced this massive heart attack. And while I'm in the hospital, the only thing that I can do is to pray God. "Lord, help me. If it's your thy will that I will coming home in heaven, I will. But if not, Lord, please spare my life. I want to do more something in Cambodia." When they checked everything, 2D echo, ECG, blood works, they check everything, and I'm on the way in massive heart attack. And they found out when they do the angiogram where they can see my heart, when they can look at my heart, they found out 6 blockages upper part of my heart. They are all main arteries that is blocked. And the blessing is, this doctor, he's a Christian. And he told me, "You know, sir, don't worry about it. I know you are a pastor. I know you are a missionary. Sir, you know, the Lord will use me as an instrument." And while he's performing this angioplasty, where he will put a stent in my heart, the music that I hear in this cat lab, it's a music of Christian song. And I'm very happy because this doctor is a Christian. And while he's performing, I'm looking at my heart where I still remember it, and I'm praying to the Lord, "Lord, please help me. I want to be cured. My family is waiting for me. My ministry in Cambodia is waiting for me." You know, the only thing that we can do is prayer. And I thank the Lord, there's a lot of people who prayed for me. And also churches in Philippines, churches here in America, churches in Cambodia, those people. And I know, you know, prayer is very important for us as a Christian. That's why we need to have a prayerful heart. Second thing, we need to have a committed heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." This is Apostle Paul. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You know, Apostle Paul is the first missionary of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul, when he got saved in the road of Damascus, he committed his life to serve God. He committed his life to follow God when he got saved. You know, he committed his life, as long as he lives, he will serve the Lord faithfully to him. That's why he wrote 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. "I fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Before he died, he wrote that where he can encourage these Christians. And you know, he experienced a lot of things in serving the Lord. He experienced